The young man shrugged his backpack to a different resting place just above his kidneys. If he didn't shift the load's position every half hour, his day would end with a throbbing bruise where the pack rode his lower spine. The morning was red, an angry newborn thing, the sun bobbing low on a sea of curdled cloud. As he marched into the blood-stained sunrise that straddled the eastern hills, little snails of sweat crawled down his forehead, dripping their glistening trails of salt into his eyes. It was going to be a hot one. Just as soon as it was light enough to squint around him, he'd hitched his bedroll to the backpack and aborted his resting place of last night, a shallow canyon partially sheltered by a railroad trestle. He smirked a little as he thought about that resting place. There hadn't really been any rest at all. A couple of tramps had climbed down into the canyon at dusk and unrolled their own bedrolls. After a few muttered words of wary greeting, no one had spoken for the rest of the night. No one had slept much either. Each occupant of the shallow gulch had been afraid of dozing off in the presence of a stranger. It wouldn't have been the first time a coroner had been called to bag and tag the remains of yet another homeless person butchered for a stained coat or a pair of worn shoes. So all three wanderers lying underneath the railroad tracks that night had gone without sleep as the midnight freight trains had rolled through. No, it had most definitely not been a restful night. Thoughts of rest and sleep brought the young man to cast his mind across the murky waters of the last few months, back to the home he had left, to a bedroom where he used to sleep deeply and well, to a house protected from the dangers of living rough on the open road. His baby sister would be on her way to school about now. Maybe she was waiting for the bus outside the rented apartment where what remained of the family lived. He wondered if his sister ever thought about him anymore. If she did, what might those thoughts be? He remembered how her smile could light up the world. That had been true even on a dark day, and there had been plenty of those. Of course, most of those dark days had been his own making. Nobody had forced him to go down the twisted path he'd chosen. Nobody had made him start dealing drugs from the home where he lived with his family. to start selling black pills and white powder for the money he'd convinced himself he so desperately needed. That's what had really caused their lives to fly apart like so much dandelion fluff in a summer storm, because the young man hadn't realized that the laws in their state mandated the immediate confiscation of a home where drugs were being dealt on any significant basis. And, of course, the bust finally came.
Get your hands up! Get your hands up!
By the time the DEA agents came boiling through the shattered door of the little house, bristling black and yellow fire ants from a weird galaxy of giants, he was already moving tens of thousands of dollars of coke and crack and X in any given week. So after his arrest at the trial, the judge had impounded the house. His mom had moved what furniture she could manage to a small rented apartment in a part of town where people didn't go out alone at night. It was all she could afford, a tiny duplex with peeling paint in a part of the city where you got used to turning your TV up high so as not to hear the angry voices of failed lives from next door and across the street. But there would be no quiet bedroom, no place of rest for the young man. He was already 16, would turn 17 next month. And although, as a minor and a first-time offender, he'd gotten off with probation, there would be no going home for him. In fact, his mother wouldn't even let him through the front door. He didn't really blame her. He'd spindled and mutilated their lives quite enough. It was probably for the best that he put some space between himself and the family he had crippled. So he'd taken to the open road with some idea of heading east. East to one of the bigger cities. East to a rainy, gray, unnamed place where he could lose himself in faceless anonymity. He didn't really have a clear idea on what his plan was, except to get away. Traffic was picking up a little along the road where the young man walked. Probably early morning commuters or parents taking their kids to school before rushing off to some desk in a nearby office. Thoughts of school led to thoughts of books, and thoughts of books caused the young man to stop for a moment, shrug off his pack, and stoop down on the grassy embankment beside the road. He needed to make sure he still had it. Reaching his hand into one of the side flaps of the backpack, he pulled out a tiny, black, well-worn book. It was, in fact, a pocket edition of the Gideon Bible. For some reason, he felt greatly comforted that the book was still there where he had stowed it the night before last, the evening of that strange encounter. That day, the road on which the boy traveled had skirted the edge of a state park. And as the twilight faded to a darker gloaming, he'd seen near the roadside what looked like a campfire. Curious, the boy turned off the road and started walking toward the light. He passed between the massive trunks of old-growth hardwoods, which creaked softly under the growing weight of the night. It was indeed a campfire. Its sparks rose and died in the dusk, dancing for a moment with the first stars before flaring out to ash and drifting into nothingness. Someone had even pitched a small gray tent there by the roadside, near the river, at the edge of the park. This was good. Campers, the young man knew, were recreational travelers. As such, they didn't normally represent a threat to wanderers like himself. In fact, a lone camper might very well be the one to be afraid of a stranger walking up to his fire at dusk. But the man he'd met that night had seemed to be somehow above fear. As the boy neared his fire, the man rose from the folding chair where he'd been sitting within the halo of the firelight. He reached out his hand and smiling welcome.
Welcome.
As though he'd actually been expecting his guest.
Welcome.
And the man had shared his dinner that night, some trout he'd caught in the bright river which ran along the road. It was good trout, too, tender and fresh and flavored with sprigs of rosemary and wild thyme. And as the warmth of the fire enfolded him in that easy lethargy that sometimes comes after a good meal, the boy found himself emptying his heart to the strange bearded man with the warm brown eyes. The words geysered out of him like the river floating by the campsite, a frothing flood of sobbing pain for all the hurt he'd heaped on his family. And then the man had said such a strange thing. "You know," he said, "you can't unbreak broken eggs. But if you're careful enough with them, guided by the right recipe..." "You can make a pretty good omelet." Then the man had revealed that he was actually a pastor in a small church about 40 miles from the state park. And this pastor, this bearded preacher with the peaceful eyes, told the boy about David, a man in the Bible who had done a horrible thing. "Domine Jesu Christe lex glorie." David was a mighty king, and he had arranged the murder of another man named Uriah so that David could take Uriah's beautiful wife for his own. Now, that was a terrible crime, and God made David pay for it, because all crimes require payment in the end. But that didn't mean God stopped loving David. In fact, with God's help, David went on to do amazing things, incredible things for God. And then the strange pastor with the warm brown eyes told the boy about Mary Magdalene. Some people called her Mary of Bethany. She was a woman who had lived a terrible, destructive life, abusing herself in the most shameful way. But this same woman was forgiven by Jesus. And the swelling depths of her gratitude were such that she came one day to Jesus and washed his feet with her tears and dried those beautiful feet with her hair. Mary's story became an inspiration for thousands of years to multitudes of people, an example of how it's never too late. No one is ever too far gone to turn away from a life of chaos and destruction. because it's never too late to give yourself completely to the mercy of God. The boy had drifted into sleep that night, peaceful, dreamless sleep, such as he hadn't slept in many days, and when he woke up the next morning, he found that he was alone. The only thing to mark the presence of the strange man of God from the previous evening was a small Bible which lay beside the boy's backpack. The boy opened the Bible. He found that on the inside title page, the pastor had written the day's date and this note: "I give you this book. Study it carefully. It is full of wonderful recipes for what you can do with broken eggs."